From Washington, VOA presents Issues in the News.
Hello and welcome to Issues in the News. I'm Kim Lewis, and joining me on the panel this week are VOA Senior Diplomatic Correspondent Cindy Sain and VOA Executive Producer Steve Reddish. Welcome, Cindy and Steve.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us again.
Well, here are the issues. As reported on our VOA website, the FBI's court-ordered search at former President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate in Florida was the latest indication that investigators remain focused on the country's 45th president. Reports say the investigators were seeking classified documents he may have taken with him when he left Washington last year. The Democrats' $740 billion Inflation Reduction Act moves closer to a House vote. Provisions of the bill include raising taxes on corporations, tackling climate change, lowering prescription drug costs, and reducing the federal deficit. Secretary of State Antony Blinken appealed to governments and people across Africa to embrace Washington's vision of democracy as he toured three sub-Saharan countries on the continent. The visit comes as Russia and China try to raise their own influence on Africa. China's military said exercises held around Taiwan have concluded while pledging to continue regular patrols around the self-ruled island. Well, those are the issues, and let's get started. Well, Steve, as former President Trump considers another run for president in 2024, he is facing major criminal investigations, and reaction to the court-ordered raid by the FBI on his Mar-a-Lago home has been mixed. However, as of this show, we still don't know what sparked the raid. What other information do you have on this?
First, let's stipulate that for the Justice Department to seek and then get a search warrant, they've got to show a judge a detailed reasoning that not only has a crime been committed, but the evidence of that crime exists at the place to be searched. So asking for and being granted a search warrant is not just some sort of fishing expedition, not just in this case, but in any federal case, there has to be specific reasoning to do a search warrant. And of course, in this case, and any case involving a former president of the United States, there has to be a very high standard because of the optics involved. What do we know about what it was that they were seeking? All that we really know is that they were seeking documents that the former president took from the White House to his home in Mar-a-Lago after he left office. There were about 15 boxes of documents that had been recovered from Trump's Mar-a-Lago home. Some of them were marked as classified, and that prompted a Justice Department investigation. A Trump attorney has said a storage area at Mar-a-Lago was searched by members of Trump's legal team with some of the items turned over to federal authorities. But issuing and executing a search warrant suggests a couple of things. One, more classified material was still at Trump's home than had previously been indicated and returned. And number two, this was important material, not just a bunch of calendar entries or lunch menus or seemingly innocuous documents that could have been taken from the White House. There had to have been a national security imperative for the Justice Department to go after and to secure this kind of search warrant and execute it. The Justice Department and the FBI have not said anything about their reasons for it, what the search warrant contained, what they were looking for, etc. And that's standard procedure. The Justice Department has historically not commented on investigations, especially investigations of high-level political figures or very important people. They just don't say that. They just don't talk about investigations. There had to have been, some sort of reasoning that not only were these classified documents still being held by the president, but they were concerned about what will happen to them next. So that's the reasoning behind going after and executing this search warrant. Most of what has been known about what happened has come from the former president and his people telling the world that this search warrant was executed. So a lot of details are still not known, and more will likely come out in the days ahead. But it is unlikely that it is connected to the January 6th investigation.
That was going to be my next question on that. The Justice Department is also investigating Trump's role in instigating the riot at the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021. Will this raid have any type of an effect on this investigation?
What I have heard, Kim and Steve laid it all out quite well, with there having to be probable cause and a judge having to approve the search. But anything that was found, I mean, there were very specific reasons that they had to lay out what they were looking for. But if they were to find other incriminating material, then that is fair game. That's what I have heard legal experts say this week. And one other little detail is that we know from the former president is that he put out a statement saying, "They even opened my safe." So it would appear that they had certain places that they knew that they were looking. And I guess we all just have to be patient and wait and see what comes out of it. But we've heard most Republican elected officials come to the former president's defense and saying this is an attack on democracy and whatever. But as Steve laid out, this was a search with a warrant. There were very high standards, and one can imagine even higher, and that it was signed off on by top people at the Justice Department and the FBI, with the former president being involved.
It does indicate as well that if the Attorney General and the Department of Justice is willing to conduct a search warrant of a former president's residence for national security documents, for classified documents, it indicates that the Attorney General is not going to be shy about going after the former president, about trying to investigate and perhaps indicting the former president on charges regarding January 6th. There had been a lot of speculation as to whether the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, would have the fortitude and go after and try and prosecute the case of a former president. This seems to indicate that Garland does have that fortitude and would prosecute a case if the evidence indicates the need to do so. There's been a lot of talk, especially among Republican supporters of the president, that the classified documents is just not something that you would try and prosecute someone who had that kind of high office, that you wouldn't want to prosecute against them. That said, improperly taking or possessing classified documents is a felony. VOA's national security correspondent, Jeff Selden, did a little bit of digging, and there have been at least 11 such investigations of improperly handling or taking classified documents since 2005. And among those who are prosecuted, former national security advisor Sandy Berger, who was found guilty of illegally possessing classified documents, and the former CIA director, David Petraeus, also found guilty of improperly handling and distributing classified documents. So there is precedent for prosecuting high-level figures. Both of them were in Democratic administrations, Berger in the Clinton administration, as well as the Obama administration, and Petraeus was President Obama's CIA director. So it is an issue that is dealt quite seriously by the Justice Department, improperly taking or possessing classified documents.
Well, thanks for bringing up those examples. And in looking at this other investigation in Georgia, where a prosecutor is investigating Trump for possible solicitation of election fraud. So in looking at these investigations on Trump, will he be able to overcome these to stay in politics?
Yeah, I think we're just going to have to wait and see how all this plays out. And as Steve said, we don't know the facts. We don't know where they will lead. And I think that it's exactly why that the FBI has collected these documents. You mentioned the Georgia investigation. We know there were efforts underway to reverse the results of the November election, and the state Georgia surprisingly did go for Biden. And we know there were efforts underway to try to get a different slate of electors. Some Republican elected officials there spoke up about it at the time.
Whether or not these legal proceedings damage the political future of President Trump, I don't think it will have much of an effect. Donald Trump has a sizable, fervent backing of millions and millions of Americans. And as we saw in the 2020 election, he got more votes than any other Republican candidate ever. And he lost the election. And he gained more votes than he did from 2016. This search warrant and perhaps whatever charges come next afterwards, many political pundits believe that will only strengthen the president's backing by these voters, as well as may speed up any timetable the former president has about announcing his candidacy for the 2024 election.
Good points. And as you and Cindy brought up, we will just have to be patient and see what happens. And on Capitol Hill, Democrats passed a sweeping economic package designed to combat climate change, address health care costs, and raise taxes on large corporations, marking a crucial achievement for President Biden and his party as they look to maintain their hold on Congress in the November midterm elections. So how defining is this legislation for the Democratic Party?
This has been President Biden's the jewel of any kind of legislation that he has tried to get passed in the year and a half that he's been in office. This legislation particularly has been more than a year in the making. It was originally about $2 trillion worth of programs that was scaled back several times in order to get Senate Democrats on board. And now it's a $740 billion bill. But this has been key to President Biden's promises that he made during the 2020 campaign of attacking climate change. The $369 billion worth of energy and climate provisions is the biggest investment in clean energy in U.S. history. So for President Biden, fulfilling campaign promises on prescription drugs and climate change is key for Democrats to try and be competitive in these midterm elections that are coming up in November, and key for any hope that President Biden seeks re-election in 2024.
Yes, Kim, I would agree. It has been really an impressive string of victories. And many times on this show, we've talked about how paper thin the Democrats' majority has been in the Senate, and how two sort of more moderate Democrats, Senator Manchin and Senator Sinema, have blocked what was called the Build Back Better Act. Then all of a sudden, we see that that bill has been renamed the Inflation Reduction Act, and that it's being championed by none other than Senator Manchin. So it is quite sort of an astonishing comeback. And some observers have noted that President Biden, who was a senator himself for 36 years, is very much a creature of the Senate, sort of had to pull back a little and just let others work this thing out. And there again, it's something that was a long time in the making, took a lot of patience, a lot of progressive Democrats just despaired of anything happening. And I think there was sort of a narrative in the public that the Democrats have the majority, they can't get anything done. And now, you know, that really has been proven wrong. And we see that legislation about to pass now on this Inflation Reduction Act, gun violence legislation for veterans to get care for veterans who were subjected to burn pits in the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Biden had COVID, but it's been quite an astonishing couple of weeks with legislative victories. And we'll just have to see how that translates with midterm elections that are in November.
When you think about the margins that are in both the House of Representatives and the Senate, Democrats hold the House by a handful of seats. The Senate is evenly split 50-50. The burn pits bill that Cindy mentioned, as well as the Chips and Science bill, which provides $50 billion for semiconductor production and research here in the United States as a way to compete with China, both of those bills received Republican support. So not only to get several of these wins with Republicans on board is indicative of A, the need for this legislation, and B, the ability Biden has to be able to navigate the politics involved in order to get these things done. And I do think that this helps Democrats, along with the investigations into January 6th Capitol attack and the backlash over the Supreme Court's decision overturning a woman's right to an abortion. All of these things have given Democrats some new vitality and vigor going into a midterm election that many political observers believed would be a Republican, not so much a landslide, but certainly a good year for Republicans, because political history shows that in the first midterm election of a president's first term, the president's party usually loses seats in Congress. But between inflation coming down a little bit and these legislative wins and some damage to Republicans as far as the January 6th attack and the abortion ruling, gives Democrats some hope of being able to hold the House and hold the Senate.
Yes, it's a good summary of what is going on Capitol Hill. And thank you. And it's time now for a quick break. And when we return, the U.S. makes a diplomatic push in Africa to counteract Russia's and China's influence. Issues in the News is coming to you from the Voice of America in Washington. If you would like to download the program, it's free on iTunes. Just click on the iTunes tab on our website at voaafrica.com. While you're there, check out our other programs, Press Conference USA and Encounter. Also visit us on Facebook and leave a comment or two. Then like us at Current Affairs with Carol Castiel. Now back to our panel via Skype. VOA Senior Diplomatic Correspondent Cindy Sain and VOA Executive Producer Steve Reddish. Well, Secretary of State Antony Blinken visited South Africa, the DRC, and Rwanda to unveil the Biden administration's new strategy for the region. Cindy, you've been covering this story. What can you tell us about Secretary Blinken's recent tour of Africa and Africa's response?
Well, Secretary Blinken laid out a major foreign policy speech and laid out priorities for sub-Saharan Africa. And his main message has been that the U.S. views African countries as vital geostrategic partners. And it's not that the U.S. is just seeing African countries as pawns in the struggle for influence with Russia and China, but that the U.S. is viewing them as partners and is not coming to dictate whom they should form alliances with or sort of present ready-made solutions, but to listen and to also back African and regional solutions. And some African experts who I've spoken to do say that they note and they appreciate kind of a change in tone. They said, you know, when the U.S. comes in and says, we have all the answers, that tends to suck the oxygen right out of the room. Blinken's visit did come on the heels of a visit by the Russian foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov. Lavrov was pushing the narrative that the grain shortage and some very serious food shortages and hunger in Africa, that that was basically the fault of the U.S. and the West for imposing sanctions on Russia. Of course, the U.S. and all other Western countries are saying, no, no, it's the Russian invasion itself that has very little grain being shipped out from Russia or Ukraine, which is causing these shortages and these food crises. So it is sort of still this vying for influence. And some experts tell me that Russia so far is, with disinformation, is kind of winning at least the war for public opinion in Africa. But Blinken's mission was to say the U.S. wants to work and partner with African countries and to point out that the U.S. is the one who is trying to help and has been helping for decades with humanitarian needs.
One of the things that I'm kind of puzzled about regarding Blinken's message in Africa is he has said that the U.S. does not see Africa as a playing field in competition between the great powers such as the U.S. and China and Russia. But Africa does possess many of the raw materials and minerals needed for 21st century technology and a 21st century society. And China has been for several decades working its way into Africa with a lot of infrastructure projects. Russia has been there for quite a while, dating back to the old Soviet Union, in supporting African nations that were trying to move past colonialism. So I don't necessarily understand or see Blinken's point. Africa is a playing field and has been and will be a playing field in the competition between great powers and will be for some time to come until Africa emerges from underdevelopment toward much more development. And even then, because of its raw materials and its relatively cheap labor, there's going to be always a competition for influence on the African continent.
I think that's right, Steve. And some experts are also telling me that many in Africa are also not quite buying this narrative that the U.S. is not buying. Of course, that is in the background. But I think Blinken's point is just that it's not only a playing field, that he realizes that African countries do have their own agency and their own regional solutions. He also visited the Democratic Republic of Congo and Rwanda. The U.S. is very concerned about ongoing violence there, wants to help mediate wherever it can, but is genuinely interested and genuinely views African countries as equal partners on the international stage.
Very good points that you all brought out on Blinken's visit to Africa. And I want to get in our last topic. China says it has completed its military task around Taiwan, but still plans regular patrols. Will China continue to use U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's trip to Taiwan as a justification to continue these patrols?
I think so, Kim. China's saying that it's stopped these massive live fire military drills, but we're still hearing that some are going on and crossing the sensitive median in the Taiwan Strait. They're saying that they're going to keep patrolling, so it's hard to see maybe exactly what the difference is. And residents of Taiwan, many of them are just saying, you know, we're pretty much used to this. You know, some in Taiwan are saying we have a porcupine strategy, and if China really does want to invade and try to take us over, it's not going to be easy.
Among the issues that are affected by China's reaction to Pelosi's visit is, what should the U.S. do about tariffs on Chinese goods coming into the U.S.? Ex-President Donald Trump imposed tariffs on Chinese goods during his term in office. Joe Biden left those tariffs in place when he took office, and they're still in place now. With China's response over Pelosi's visit, the White House is now caught between reducing tariffs, which would make Chinese goods cheaper and help in the fight against inflation ahead of November's midterm elections, or keep the tariffs in place so Biden and the White House won't be seen as retreating in the face of China's ratcheting up of tensions and the military exercises over Taiwan. This is something that is pretty tangible and is part of what's being weighed as far as how the U.S. should respond to what China did over Pelosi's visit.
Well, it's time now to find out what is weighing on our panelists' minds this week. Cindy, what is weighing on your mind this week?
Well, to sort of get back to the topic of the FBI search at the former president's home in Florida, that's kind of been weighing on my mind because we were hearing from supporters of the former president that this is an attack on democracy. And they're saying, you know, if the FBI can raid his home, then that can happen to anyone. And I think that if we all just sort of take a step back, that's kind of the whole point, that if there is probable cause that someone committed a crime and that, you know, a warrant is obtained and a judge approves it, then it can happen to anyone. If they're suspected, then they will be investigated. And that this has happened in other countries. It's happened in France. Former French President Sarkozy had his mansion raided after he left power and was convicted of corruption. Italy's Silvio Berlusconi was found guilty on charges. So I think that as long as this is not politically motivated and there's no evidence that it is, that it's actually a sign of a healthy democracy that former leaders are treated just like anyone else.
And Steve,
what's weighing on my mind this week is whether to support my favorite baseball team. The Washington Nationals traded their biggest star, Juan Soto, last week, and he went to the San Diego Padres. And this weekend, San Diego is here in Washington to play the Nationals. And I'm torn between going to see my favorite baseball player or whether or not to give any more of my money to the team that traded him. That's pretty much what's weighing on my mind this week.
Well, that's some food for thought there. And I thank you both, and we'll end the show on your thoughts. And thanks again to our panelists, VOA Senior Diplomatic Correspondent Cindy Sain and VOA Executive Producer Steve Reddish. I'm Kim Lewis, and join us next weekend for Issues in the News.